neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland, New York, New Jersey,
Indianapolis, California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
DVC Voice. Welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 172, and we got a full show today. So I am Shannon, and joining me today, we've got Pete.
Hey, Shannon.
And Sue.
Hi, Shannon.
So we have a lot of topics today. But before we get started, I do want to give a shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is DVC Rental Store. So if you are maybe thinking about purchasing a DVC contract, but you want to give it a trial run, renting points is a really great way to do that. And DVC Rental Store has a lot of reservations that you can take a look at and see if they fit within your plans. And then maybe you're just an owner that can't use your points this year. Then you can reach out to our friends at DVC Rental Store and they will rent out the points for you. So definitely reach out to our friends at DVC Rental Store. And with that, we'll go ahead and get started with our first news story.
The first news story is about Disney celebrating the semi-quincentennial with a version 3 of Soaring. It's a long word. Otherwise known as the 250th anniversary of the United States. Last month, Disney announced that the celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States will kick off on Veterans Day, which was November 11th, and it's going to continue through July 4th, 2026. So the biggest piece of news from this is that Soaring will be getting a new version coming the summer of 2026 called Soarin' Across America. No dates for how long this version will run, but we expect it to be the regular version from that point forward. In addition, both coasts will have extended fireworks presentations for the full July 3rd to 5th long weekend. In addition, there will be a 24-hour-long media event across Disney platforms on July 4th, as well as merchandise surrounding the holiday. And to further celebrate veterans, on Monday, November 11th, Disney announced discounts for veterans, including a year-long Walt Disney World Pass for 2026 for all active and retired military. And the cost for this is only $499 plus tax. In addition, there's also a six-day Park Hopper Pass for $499 plus tax, as well as a five-day and four-day ticket deals for military members. These offers are valid January 1st through December 18th of 2026 with an advanced theme park reservation and subject to blockout dates from March 29th to April 11th, 2026 and November 22nd to the 28th, 2026. There is also a discount on Disneyland tickets for active and retired military with links available on our show notes. So it's really nice to see that they're doing something for the military. The annual pass at $499 plus tax is really a nice deal for them.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And when you look that the blackout dates are basically over the Easter holiday and over the Thanksgiving holiday. So that's really not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, $499 plus tax is less than a week-long ticket.
Yeah, they're five-day park hopper.
That's, I think, the Pixie Dust pass is just under that. I think it's maybe $489 right now. I don't remember, our $469.
Right.
It's gone up, but it's not. And that's only a weekday pass. Like you,
right,
there's
that's
blackout
not
dates.
Weekends.
Right.
These
yeah.
These are good on weekends. The only
right.
thing that's blacked out are the major holidays,
right.
Easter, Thanksgiving,
yeah.
and of course Christmas. But yeah, this is a really good deal. Now I don't think it applies to family members. So if you have just one military member in the family, you still have to buy tickets for the rest of the family, but it's still a good deal.
Right. And most military active war retired can buy their tickets over at Shades of Green and get a discount for their family members.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. I was hoping it was going to offer it for first responders, but no such luck.
So what do y'all think of the new Soarin'? I mean, I just saw the modified Soaring Around the World with the new Eiffel Tower, and they're already getting rid of that, it seems like.
I think they're just going to put it on hold for a while. That would be my guess. But I'm looking forward to this one.
I am too. And I kind of wish, I mean, they have three theaters, so I kind of wish that they would do the America, the World, and the California, and you can kind of choose which one you want to go to. I think that would be interesting if they did that.
Yeah, especially with three of them now, I would think, I imagine at first you would just want this one. So
right, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But I think after a little bit, when people go, that way you can kind of pick which one you want to see, or maybe you want to see all three.
Right.
No, I think that's very cool. I'm excited. Any speculation on what we're going to see? I mean, I'm rooting for, because I live 10 minutes from it, I'm rooting for Niagara Falls. Get a little taste of home. I live minutes from the falls, as all the tourist signs say.
And that's one place I have not seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. Even I lived in New York for 5 years, but never went up there. Definitely, I would say Mount Rushmore.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
Something of D.C., the Capitol or the White House. We know it's going to end at Epcot, right?
Right, yeah.
Yep.
I feel like Yellowstone would be really good. I mean, that was in Soarin' Over California, right? The waterfall there. But that would be a good piece to have in there as well.
Maybe the Alamo. I'm trying to think of things that you can go over.
Gettysburg?
Gettysburg, I don't know if that's exciting. Like, it's really just a field. You can't really see.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's got to be something else in like the Rockies or something like that out in the West. Some of those beautiful mountain ranges, I would imagine.
You could actually do Mystic, Connecticut, because they've got all of the old ships there, the wooden ships.
Yeah, Plymouth Rock. Boston or something.
Yep.
Yeah. There's so much to see in America. There's definitely lots of options. I think it'll be very cool. And I agree with what you're saying, Shannon. It'd be nice if, now that we have three different versions, we could have... You know, multiple options to choose from when you're coming to visit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Mission Space, right? You got the green side and the orange side. They'll have like California side, America side, world side.
Right. Yeah. And then if one side is not popular at all, then, you know, then maybe they rearrange it or something.
They'd probably even out though, because like if world was like 15 minutes and America was like an hour and a half, you'd be like, oh, I'll just go see world.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they kind of do it with like the France with the Beauty and the Beast single, whatever it is.
That's true. Yeah.
The sing-along. They alternate it. And then at certain times of the day, it plays more than others. And then it, you know, it goes back and forth. So I don't know. I think eventually that would be a cool thing to do. But I know that people have been saying that for a long time and they haven't done it. So.
Yeah.
We'll stick with Epcot since we're talking about Epcot. Our next story is that the Epcot's Festival of the Arts, the official dates have been announced. So if you were hoping to check out the Festival of the Arts at Epcot this year or in next year, you are in luck as the dates are slightly extended from past years, running a full 39 days from January 16th to February 23rd of 2026. The event will continue to showcase Broadway entertainers, now expanded to 7 nights per week. There will also be food booths, artist sales, and a return of a special display of costumes and memorabilia from Disney's Broadway at CommuCore. The promise is the displays will be significantly different from last year. The list of performers is available in our show notes. So the first thing I notice is that it starts on a holiday weekend. So it starts the Friday. Mm-hmm. And then it lasts until another holiday weekend. So there's two holiday weekends in there, which is going to be great.
And I'm going to be down there for this. So I think we're going to end up seeing it at least once, seeing at least one of the groups. So, and they do have the, you know, the usual like dining packages if you don't want to wait for your seats. Right. Though I don't know how critical that is. When we were just down there for Eat to the Beat, we did not find it necessary to pick up the dining packages, at least for the bands that we saw. But I think it depends on the night too, right? Because probably Friday, Saturday nights are going to be more crowded, I would guess.
Yeah,
definitely.
But none of these names, I mean, the only name that I recognize is Susan Egan, who was the first one to play Beauty and the Beast. So she played Belle. And she's also, she played Meg in Hercules in the film. And she's also the godmother of the new ship, Disney Destiny. So that's the only name I recognize. Every other name I don't recognize. But I don't really know Broadway stars, but I don't think they have the following that like other celebrities do.
Right. I mean, a lot of these, I think James Monroe Inglehart, I think he played the genie in Aladdin. I think he's very popular.
Okay.
In terms of seeing him. The rest of them, not probably big theater names, but not big, like, famous names, so to speak.
But it looks fun. That's one festival. We went once, but it was Ryder was little, and we really didn't do much of the festival. We were there, but, I mean, that to me, that one looks like the best festival. That's the one I think is the most unique.
I like it a lot. We're going to be down there end of January, so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Again, staying in Epcot again for our third story, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure is down right at this moment for conversion to 2D. The ride has a planned closure to take the experience from a 3D to a 2D adventure. The comment from Disney announcement is as follows. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will experience a short downtime November 10th through the 13th of 2025 and will return with enhanced digital features and clearer imagery projected in 2D. Remy's fans will spot new props and lighting enhancements when they are added to the queue and attraction over the next few months. Comments also indicate that this is due to the better guest experience for the 2D version of the ride now playing in Disneyland Paris. Now, I put that last comment in here because I heard that and I saw it in Disneyland Paris earlier this year in the 2D version. And I'm sorry, it's not as good, in my opinion. I thought it made the ride a little bit weaker by having it just a regular 2D ride. So I'm not really sure what the reason is. You know, I suppose it saves money on glasses.
Yeah.
But
I think part of it, though, Pete, was also with the perception there were people who were not feeling very well on that ride afterwards. And the 3D makes it that way. I went on the one 2D over at Paris, Disneyland Paris, and I had no problem with it. I did enjoy it. That's the first time I had ever been on it. And then when this one opened and I went on it, there were times when I had to close my eyes because I was getting too dizzy. I couldn't focus. So I'm kind of wondering if that might be it.
Yeah, certainly possible that they've gotten some complaints about it and they just decided it wasn't worth. I mean, this isn't the first ride to ever do that where it was in 3D and they converted it to 2D.
And also the glasses, they don't fit kids.
Well, yeah.
So yeah. I mean, I remember when I went with the rider, they fit them now, but I mean, they still have to hold them a little bit, but I had to literally hold them on Ryder's head when we went, and he was maybe six at the time. So for kids that go, and Ryder's nine, and it's still kind of, they still fall, but they'll stay for the most part. So I'm sure that also takes into account because that's kind of a kid's ride, right? Like, there's no height requirement.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's not like it ruins the ride to take away the 3D, for sure.
Yeah.
But I do think it's funny that they're taking away the 2D here, while at the same time they're opening a new movie in Animal Kingdom for Zootopia, which is shown in Carrot Vision, which is apparently another name for 3D. That show is indeed in 3D and uses a lot of the same effects that the Bugs Life show did.
Yeah, but it doesn't move, though.
But it doesn't move. You're right.
Right.
You're right. So it does make sense that could be the reason why they're doing it, is maybe they had a number of guest complaints about discomfort on the ride.
Or cleanups.
You know, or too many cleanups. Yeah. Well, in that case, they got to change Guardians then, too, I guess, right?
This is true.
Do we have any news not at Epcot?
Yes, we do. We have changes to the bars at both the Poly and the Grand Floridian. So the Perch Lobby Bar at the Grand Floridian officially opened for business on November 10th. This bar will serve wine, beer, and specialty cocktails. The new bar was inspired by the large bird cage that used to be in the Grand Floridian lobby. This is all part of the full refurbishment of the main salon area that has been going on at the resort. And actually, the pictures I've seen of it looks quite interesting and kind of a nice little addition in the lobby to have a lobby bar.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it'll hold a lot of people. It's a pretty cool look.
Right. And I wonder if you can take your cocktails and sit down in the seating areas, the other seating areas.
I imagine. Yeah, I wouldn't think. Why not?
Right. In addition, it was just announced that the Waialulu Bar and Grill will eliminate the current walk-up policy. They're going to start taking reservations, which should help out because people were lining up and trying to get in. This way, having a reservation makes it a lot easier.
The reservations are starting December 3rd for dates of December 4th and beyond. So if you haven't had a chance to check out this wonderful location, now is your opportunity.
Sue, have you tried eating there yet?
No, I haven't. Every time I've gone over there, it's been so crowded that I haven't been able to get in. I'm hoping in a couple of weeks, right after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah, we went there in April and it was really good. The food there was really good. I don't know if it was, if our timing was good or what, but we didn't wait more than like 10 or 15 minutes. We were staying there at the Poly Tower and we went there for lunch. Uh-huh. So maybe that's why it was easier.
Oh, we tried to go there for lunch and it was an hour and a half wait.
Yeah. I tried dinner. Forget it.
Yeah. So it's probably a good thing. It's a little sad to me because it's nice when there's the occasional restaurant you can walk up to. Mm-hmm. But if you're waiting an hour and a half, that isn't good either.
It's not a good, it's not a good experience with that.
But so there's not that much to look at there.
No, but I'm looking forward to trying out the perch over at the Grand Floridian.
That looks great.
Yeah, looks it really, really nice. Does. And I love the new carpeting that they put down.
I do very too. Pretty. My husband doesn't like it, but I like it.
It still feels very Grand Floridian in there.
Yes,
it does.
Yes.
It does. Yeah, I agree. Okay, we'll go on to our last story, which is that DVC members get a special viewing area for the Disneyland Christmas Parade. So on November 20th, November 25th, and December 11th, DVC owners can watch a Christmas fantasy parade from a special reserve section in the Small World Promenade. Eligible owners must claim a wristband at Starview Station, a member lounge beginning at 11 a.m. on the event date. The member plus up to four additional guests on their resort reservation can be accommodated. Each member of the party must be present to claim a wristband. The parade starts at 3 p.m. and participants with wristbands must arrive 30 minutes prior to the showtime. The viewing area is standing room only. Note there is limited parking for ECVs. So, I mean, this is nice. Getting there 30 minutes prior, though, I don't know how special it is. How hard is it to get a spot for these parades?
Yeah, it does seem weird that they give you a reserved area, but then you still have to get there 30 minutes beforehand.
Yeah.
Plus wait in line earlier in the morning to get your wristband. So now you're waiting twice. So yeah, I would be curious. I don't know how popular the parade is at Disneyland. These dates are, I think, during the week, right?
I know December 11th, Thursday, just because that's Ryder's birthday.
Yeah, November 20th would be a
Thursday.
Wednesday, and November 25th, I think, is
Tuesday,
I think.
You're right. November 20th is Thursday, November 25th, Tuesday. So it is all during the week. But it's still a nice, you know, we talk about these DVC member perks. And once we're done with the news here, I'm going to talk about a few that I got to take advantage of down in Florida a couple weeks ago. They're all really nice, though. I mean, it's if you're going to be there anyways, this is a great thing to take advantage of, that you can go and get a reserved area for the parade that you have a good viewing. And I'm sure they say 30 minutes prior, but I'm sure if you show up 20 minutes prior, they're not going to like kick you out or something like that. They just want to make sure that people are getting there before the show starts.
Right.
That's all the news we got, right?
So tell us about your trip.
I hate to spend too much time on a trip report during the news thing, but I did get to take advantage of several DVC events. The first one was we got to attend the DVC meet and treat that they had at the boardwalk. Previously, it had been at the Atlantic Dance Hall, right? Shannon, you got to do this once?
Yes.
At the dance hall?
Yes.
So this was instead at the Boardwalk Conference Center, which was really nice. I'd never been in there. And they gave out bags for candy. They had a couple of stations, just like they would for the Halloween party, where they had like big bins of candy that you could walk up to. And then they had three different meet and greets. They had Max Goof as Powerline. They had Duffy in his Halloween pumpkin costume.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then they had Mike and Sully from Monsters, Inc. And then they also had a DJ in there that was playing music and trying to get kids and even adults to get around, come around and dance and everything like that. And we were in there close to an hour. We did get photos with all three of the characters. It was a 2-hour session. They did it 2 days the week we were there. And then I think they had done it 2 days a couple weeks prior. I highly recommend it. I mean, especially if you have kids and they're giving out candy, you're meeting characters, all these things are free as a DVC member. Pretty rare characters in general. I mean, Mike and Sully, they still meet pretty regularly in Hollywood studios, do they? Or are they no longer regular? I'm not sure.
I haven't seen them there in a while.
Yeah, but like Duffy, you don't normally see.
Right.
And Max Goof from the Goofy movie, dressed as Powerline, I think he only comes out for special events. You know, you got to get your photos with all three characters. And the other thing I would say is we were there pretty close to right at the beginning, and there was a lot of people there. But as it went on, towards the last hour of it, the lines actually got a lot shorter. So if you showed up at the beginning of the second hour, you probably would have waited a lot shorter. But even so, they kept the characters out there. When they went and took their breaks, they went back, and then they were coming back out within 2-3 minutes. So they were keeping the characters always rolling the whole time we were there. It was a fun experience. Definitely, they usually have this for, I think, Valentine's Day they do it, for Halloween, and then there's a third one they did it this past year, I think. They've done it for a couple different times over at the boardwalk. That was nice. I really appreciated it. Shannon, you did this a couple years ago too, right?
I did the very, very first one that they did, and the line was really long. Like, it was a little chaotic, like, to get in. But I've heard that was like a one-time thing, that they've definitely gotten better. But it was great. Like, it was like the Evil Queen. Like, the only, did they have PhotoPass photographers?
They did not. They just had, but they had someone that would take your camera and take your family's picture for you. So the character handlers.
That's my only disappointment with that, is that if you're going to do that, I know it's different companies and they probably have to hire the PhotoPass photographer. But I just think it's such a missed opportunity, because the PhotoPass photos are just always going to be better unless you have like a really nice professional camera. And you're going to get more publicity if you have PhotoPass photos. Like, and I just think it's just a missed opportunity. I mean, it's not a huge deal. It's still cool to get those pictures on your own camera. But it's just I think it's just a missed opportunity, because the better the picture, people are going to see them. That's my only critique of those events.
I would agree with that, because the pictures, they were just taken on my phone and they were fine, but they weren't as good as what you get.
The lighting's not good.
Right.
The lighting's not good. Like, the lighting, I remember, like, if you go into the red carpet dreams for Mickey and Minnie, you take a picture on your own phone, it's still going to come out pretty good, because the lighting is there for pictures. When you're going to a space that's not really designed for pictures and it's just kind of like a pop-up, it's just never going to be that great. So that's my only critique of those events, is that I think it's more of just a missed opportunity. They did the same thing at that Frozen thing that I went to last summer. It was great. We got great pictures, but the lighting was not great, and there was no PhotoPass photographer.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, it might get people to buy PhotoPass that wouldn't otherwise.
Right. Absolutely.
So, and then we also, while we were down there, got to do the DVC Moonlight Magic at Animal Kingdom, which that was our first chance to do that at Animal Kingdom. And actually our first main theme park one since way, way back, with the first year we did the Magic Kingdom one, like the first year they ever did it. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time we've done, we did Typhoon Lagoon in 2023. But, you know, Typhoon Lagoon, it's, you know, it's not the same as a full theme park, right?
Right.
And that was a lot of fun for the most part. The one thing I would say, it was really nice the way they did this. They had like snack coupons that you could use. They gave you everybody like 3 coupons. And so you could spend it basically on any snack in the park. But they had a lot of the eating places open with limited selections. But at least there was lots of places you could go. Back when I did it many years ago, there was only like 2 or 3 places in the whole park opening. And it was insane, the lines for food.
Right, the lines were horrible.
And this was much better. The one thing that was funny about this, they had several meet and greets. And the biggest one was at the Lion King show. They had like Mickey and Minnie, Daisy and Donald, and I forget what the third one was. And they were all in the theater there. And we walked by it. We had seen Timon and Rafiki in Africa, and the wait was like 10-15 minutes. Not bad, right? We walked by the Lion King theater. We were going to go see them. There had to have been 300 people in line for that.
Wow.
And I mean, it was like extending out through the queue, through the whole queue for the Lion King. And we walked by and we're just like, I'm not doing that. I mean, you got 2 hours at this thing. I'd spend the entire time in that line.
Right.
And it's just Mickey and Minnie. and Donald Daisy, I can see them anywhere, you know? And in fact, later in the night, we were over, they had a launch pad and Scrooge McDuck over in by Dinosaur at the end of the night, and there was nobody over there for them.
Wow.
So we didn't, it was so close to the end of the night, we still wanted to get some food, so we didn't actually stop. Otherwise, though, the event was great. Both Pandora rides, no wait, no waits for anything. We did all, not that there's that many major rides, but I went on Everest. I was the only one in our group that went on Everest, but we also did Dinosaur. We did the Pandora ride. We did both Pandora rides, as I said. You know, we got snacks and we met a couple characters. So for however long it was, I think 3 hours.
Three.
It goes by fast, but like it was a lot of fun. And you know, we ran into some people that we knew from different DVC forums and things like that. It was a lot of fun. And I'm sure, you know, anybody that's done these knows this. I know, Shannon, you did the Animal Kingdom one, right?
I did, yeah. Maybe two summers ago. It was great. It was great. The only thing that we had was it was really dark. You know, the park's not usually open at night. And the maps, when we got there, they didn't have the maps out yet.
Oh.
And so we never knew where anything was, what was going on, because they didn't have anything out. And to go get them, you had to go all the way back to the entrance.
They did fix that, because they were giving out the maps pretty much all around the park. You did have to go to one particular place. You could either get the wristband at the front, or I can't tell you the name of it, but it was like across from the bird show on the water there. Mm-hmm. There was a little place that they were giving out the wristbands and the coupons or whatever. You could use the coupons. As I said, there was a lot of different things you could try for snacks and things like that.
Yeah,
use it for drinks too.
The food, that wasn't an issue. I remember there wasn't like long lines for a lot of things that night.
No.
So that wasn't bad. The one time we had it was at Hollywood Studios. Like that was the one I went to at Hollywood Studios. I think it was the same summer. I think it was summer of 2022, where it was like, you just were like, I just give up. I'm just going to go to McDonald's on the way back. Like, and then McDonald's was closed.
Yeah. I think the Magic Kingdom one we did, we waited like the only thing they had was like hot dogs and chicken nuggets.
Right.
And there was only like two, like Columbia Harbor House had it. And then I think Casey's had it. And we waited like 45 minutes in Columbia Harbor House in this like mass of people all trying to get their hot dogs.
And that's such a small place.
Other than that, it was an awesome event, but the getting food for it was terrible. This was much better, much more well organized. I do love, I mean, you talk about in the dark. I love riding Everest in the dark.
Oh, it's the best.
And you don't get to do it very often at all. And it's such a fun, when you have the inside and the outside both dark, the backwards section, because normally there's some light there, but in the dark, there's no light and it's really cool. And then you come out of the building, and as I said, going in and out of the building, your eyes don't keep trying to adjust.
Right.
So then by the time you get to the Yeti, you can actually see it.
We did it at the after hours, and I just remember this was 2018, and it had dropped to like 45 degrees, or it was like 40 degrees. And it was cold. And I'm from South Florida, so like I mean, you're probably used to it, but we were cold. Like, we ended up doing tequila shots
cold.
Yeah. So we did tequila shots to warm up right outside the bar outside, because that was open.
Yeah.
But we did it 4 times in a row. And I was like, we're going to get pneumonia. Like, we're going to get pneumonia. But it was also, we had done the after hours. Ryder was 3 and we got a sitter for him. We got a babysitter so that we could ride, because we hadn't ridden like Everest. We hadn't ridden Pandora together. Yeah. We'd always did rider swap. So it was kind of like fun to do those types of rides. But I just remember it was awesome. But like Ray's like, okay, we're done. you're trying to kill me.
You're freezing me on this ride.
Yeah.
I went to one at Animal Kingdom, and the walking in and walking around there at night, though, all I could think of was Jurassic Park. You know, for some reason that came to mind. It was because you hear these noises and you can hear some of the animals out there, and you just kind of wonder, Jurassic Park.
Now, did you get to go into Pandora to see it? Was it still illuminescent, or is it kind of still not? Is it not anymore?
No, it's they still got the luminescence of the paint on the ground is pretty worn off.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But like the plants and things are all lit up, and the one, my one complaint would be that like there was basically no wait for Flights of Passage, yet mm-hmm. they still made us walk through the standby queue instead of the fast pass queue. So it was like a mile walk to get to the ride. I was like, why can't we go through the fast pass queue? This is ridiculous. But yeah, it was. In fact, I took a picture because at one point it showed Flights of Passage was a 15 minute wait and Navi River Journey was a 30 minute wait. I was like, what world are we in? The Navi River Journey is twice the weight of Flights of Passage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great event. And then the third thing we got to do that was related to DVC is they had the DVC previews for the new Zootopia show. So we got to see the Better Zoogether show at the Tree of Life. And I got to say, in my opinion anyways, it was a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of Zootopia. It got a lot of the characters from the first movie, and clearly they put a couple characters from the new movie in there as well. But they definitely, like, it told a cute story. I know I've heard a lot of complaints about, like, oh, it doesn't teach anything anymore. And I'm always like, yeah, but what did Bugs Life taught you that there are bugs? I don't think it really taught you anything. I thought it was really cute. I think kids will love it a lot more than Bugs Life. It certainly won't terrorize them like Bugs Life did. Though I will say the seats are the same, so expect the same effects that you got out of Bugs Life within the show. So every effect that they used for the Bugs Life show, they reused for this show in some way or another.
And I heard that you get really wet in this one.
I mean, you get wet for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You get spit on by some animals. Yeah, and there's a lot of spray puffs and as a creature's running underneath your seat and things like that. I really enjoyed it. The only thing is my wife was using an ECV because she hurt her foot a couple months ago. And they put us way in the back because that's where the ECV was. And the sound wasn't very good back there. Like, you couldn't hear all the dialogue clearly. Hopefully that was just I've never sat in the very back row of the theater before. Hopefully that was just a artifact of being in the back. I don't know. I liked it a ton. And they had a lot of Imagineers walking people in and everything. So they were obviously very excited to show it off. I mean, that was, I think, the first preview day that they had was that Saturday. Three events in one trip for DVC. I mean, that's really unusual because a lot of times you don't get any. And to have three, we also got into McKim's Mile House on a really, really rainy Monday in Magic Kingdom.
That's good.
We were able to get in there. We sat in there for about an hour while it just poured outside. That was nice. It's a nice little, I mean, it's a lounge, right? You know, it's themed to the frontier land, and you get your freestyle soda and you get your animal crackers or whatever it is. But it's still, it's a nice perk to have, especially when, as I said, it's pouring rain outside and you're looking out the window and everybody's got their ponchos on, they're huddling in the rain. You're like, yeah, I'm just in here nice and dry.
And Beacon Barrel?
And we got to Beacon Barrel. Yeah, we met up with Chad at Beacon Barrel and that was a lot of fun. It reminded me a lot of Trader Sam's. Well, the difference there is there weren't really shows for the drinks. More just like little shows every like 5 minutes. There was some kind of event happened. The staff would get involved and everything like that. It was cute stuff. My only complaint about it was really they only give you 45 minutes. If you remember, like they used to do that with Oga's when it first opened. Mm-hmm. It was like two drink max, 45 minutes, you're out the door. And so like you get in there, you sit down. They give you a couple minutes with the menu. You're like ordering your drinks. And then 5 minutes later, they're like, do you want a second drink? And then then it's like, okay, you got 10 minutes left. Get out. I don't care for that.
Yeah.
It was a very fun environment and I really enjoyed it, but I didn't like the feeling of being rushed. So that's one thing to be aware of if you do go there is be aware you're not going to be in there very long. I don't know. Have either of you been yet?
No.
No, we tried to go when we went to the Halloween party. We tried to get reservations before the party started. And it ended up being fine because there was so much to do. and I'm not drinking anymore. I really haven't been drinking. And we ended up doing a lot before the party actually started. It was hard to get into, but hopefully, I mean, we don't have a trip planned, which is odd. So right. I don't know when we'll be able to get back, but I hopefully the next time we go, we'll be able to go.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it if you can get a reservation. It's worth checking out. You don't have to get an alcoholic drink there, right? They have
they have
soda and other choices too. As well. And
the food looks great. No, the food looks great.
We didn't have the squid or whatever it is, the octopus. Yeah. Uh-huh. But we had the other two things, and they were both very good. The corn cakes did not look particularly nice from presentation standpoint, but were very tasty. And then the other thing is like a kind of like a chips and dip plate. Mm-hmm. That was, I mean, it was good. It was good. They had several different tastes there that you could dip into, and there was a lot of different flavors there. So I did enjoy that as well. So we liked those two. As I said, I can't comment on the octopus. You couldn't pay me to eat it. Never mind me pay you. Mm-hmm. And then I could get into Epic Universe as well if you wanted me to, but that's not really Disney. So,
well, I mean, we've talked about Epic Universe. So, and I know you had a, because I said you can either have a great day or an epic day or an epic fail day, and it seemed like you had somewhat of an epic fail day, right?
Well, I'll say this. I think we had a kind of a half and half.
Okay.
Because my daughter's a big How to Train Your Dragon fan, so our first target was to go to Burke, and we probably spent 3 hours in Burke, and like our first thing was we met Toothless, and then we did the rides, and she wanted to eat there at the Mead Hall. And we met Rough Nut and Tough Nut. We're walking around the Mead Hall when we were there. Those are two of the characters. And she got to meet Astrid. And, like, that was fantastic. We had such a good time there. And then after lunch, we left there. And we found out that the top attraction, which would be Monsters Unleashed or Unchained, Monsters Unchained, was going to be closed the entire day. It wasn't even like that it was down. It was just like, it's closed for service. It's not going to reopen. Don't expect it to reopen. And almost everything else in the park had a 2 to 3 hour wait at that point. And that continued. We were there till 9 o'clock at night, and we actually never got to Nintendo Land because we had ridden the Bowser's ride in California. So the big thing we wanted to do was the Donkey Kong ride. Never saw it below 140 minutes. And that was too long in our book. We waited for the Harry Potter ride 155 minutes. So what is that, 2.5 hours? And it was all of 2.5 hours wait. And don't think it was worth it, to be honest. I mean, the queue is awesome.
The queue's better than the ride.
Yeah, the queue's better than the ride. And as I said, those first like 3 hours, I felt like we did a whole bunch of stuff. And then we were there from like 1 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night. And we rode in those 9 hours, we rode the one ride. We saw the Harry Potter show, which was okay. Mm-hmm. We rode the carousel, which took we were there at like 8 o'clock at night, and that took an hour. It was listed at 35 minutes and we waited an hour to get on it.
Wow.
And the ride before us on the carousel, because that was the point at which we got close enough, they sent it out with 10 empty vehicles on that ride. And I quite honestly was pissed about that. I was pissed about that more than I was about anything else. It's like, you're making us wait an hour for this ride and you can't load all the vehicles.
That's crazy.
So yeah, we had kind of, you know, you say either an epic day or an epic fail day. We had like half epic and then half epic
failed.
Fail.
But the tickets are expensive, and if you're not going to have things open, and it's just too expensive
I described it as a wonderful theme park with a mediocre theme park experience. Is how I felt it was. Like the park was beautiful. Each one of the lands was very immersive. The Celestial Park, I mean, it was fine, but the other ones we went to were all very cool. But like, it just, we didn't do much all day. And so like, and if you're gonna, you know, I said, if you get to noon, 1 o'clock, and everything's a 3 hour wait, that's a problem.
Yeah.
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 You know, two to three hour wait, that's a problem. So I don't know. I don't know what they do about it. I don't know if they need more attractions, less people. You know, I don't know if that's just because the monster. I mean, I know that Monsters Unchained ride is a real people eater. And the fact that it was down certainly, you know, makes everything else longer.
Yeah.
I had a friend go over the weekend and I had suggested that she wait, and her daughter really wanted to go, and they did not ride a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. We did the Harry Potter thing. We waited 2.5 hours, was kind of underwhelmed by it, and then 90 some minutes for the Werewolf coaster or 140 minutes for Donkey Kong, and we were just like, I don't think so. You know, yeah. The waits were just way too long, and I'm sure a lot of people spring the money for the Express Pass, but I mean, it more than doubled the price if you got the Express Pass, right?
I know the Express Pass from when we went was $300 a day.
Yeah.
I mean, $300 per
person. Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh. Right.
And that was before it included Minecart Madness and Battle in the Ministry. At that point, it did include three of the attractions. It still doesn't include Dragon's Racers Rally. That ride can get long, but there's times of the day where it's not. Did you end up riding that?
I didn't, only because the Ministry of Magic ride really tweaked my back badly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so after that, I kind of decided I didn't want to risk riding it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was in a lot of pain for the rest. I mean, I'm not going to blame the park on that, but I was already having some back issues, but like it genuinely hurt for me to ride and I almost never have. I mean, a couple days later, I rode Rock and Roller Coaster, and that didn't hurt at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that ride's very herky jerky.
It's not if you just for anybody that's going to go ride it, if you don't try and turn upside down, it's basically
the
Dragon Racers Rally. It's very, you can kind of go up and down and up and down, and it's very, very smooth.
Yeah. I was thinking you were talking about the Celestial Park coaster. Sorry.
Oh, no. You're talking about Stardust Racers?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no. That I would say, yeah, don't, if you hurt your back, don't do it.
Yeah, we didn't do Dragon's Racer Rally either, only because it was an hour and a half wait. And I looked at it and I was like, an hour and a half for that?
No, because it has low capacity. And and then also with everything else closed, everything else is going to be long.
Right.
That's what happens with that park. If one or two attractions are down, everything else becomes ridiculously long. So,
So, we didn't do that. That was the only thing in Burke we didn't do. We saw the show, and Toothless didn't fly in the show, which stunk.
You're kidding.
Yeah. It was still a good show. I mean, but, like, we knew that that's what you were going to see, and then, like, it didn't happen. We're like, oh, wasn't that supposed to happen? But we did that. We did the other two. We did the boat ride and the other coaster, and both of those were – I mean, the boat ride is, you know, it's – Buzz Lightyear with water, right? But it was fun.
Yeah, I found it fun.
Based on your comments, Shannon, I put a poncho on for that.
Oh, did you? Would you have been soaked?
I got sprayed once, but not too bad. So I don't think I would have been soaked, but
I got dumped on with water, but then Ryder and Ray were dry, so
yeah. But I thought it was a fun ride.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. It's more fun than I thought it was gonna. I don't like water rides, but I thought it was fun.
Yeah. No, it was cute. I mean, it's, you know, nothing spectacular, but the coaster was a lot of fun. And as I said, the show was a lot of fun. Meeting Toothless was really cool. We really enjoyed that area. But then after that, we did so little in the remaining. We didn't have early entry, but we were there at 9 a.m.
Right.
And it was scheduled to open 19 at 10, but they opened the park at 9:30. Mm-hmm. So the lands were all opened at 9:30. We saw Toothless before 10 a.m. Very unusual thing to do, but I was like, we're going to go right to Toothless.
No, honestly, because that was probably brilliant.
Well, because like by the time we left Toothless, it was like a 70 minute wait to see him.
Oh, and it's like that all day long.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when we went over to the Dragon Coaster, that was only like half hour when we got there. So it was definitely the right choice. But and we were there till after 9 o'clock at night. The park closed at 10, but we were just beat. I mean, we're typically like middle of the day break people.
Yeah.
So to go from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. is a lot for us. So we were spent to the point that was like, We didn't even go into Nintendo Land. It was 9 o'clock and we were like looking over there. We're like, when you go through it, I was like, oh, stairs.
Well, that wasn't that one has an escalator.
I know, but I just.
No, but there's so many stairs at that park. I had, and Stella Nova, or the first time we went, Terra Luna, most of the rooms do not have bathtubs. We ended up getting a bathtub because I requested it at when we stayed at Stella Luna. But I needed to take a, I needed to soak myself in like Epsom salts because of all the stairs. There's so much stairs in there. And I, you know, well, I would say I work out, but I don't anymore. But it's, I mean, we were hurting.
Well, I very purposefully did not, we're not going to like try and chase the short lines. We're going to do this land and this land.
Right.
And we'll get through what we get through. So we very personally, we did Burke. Then we did the Harry Potter land. Then we did the Monsters Unchained land, though we didn't actually ride anything there. We were in there and we ate at the steakhouse. And then we, and you're completely right about the buns there. They're awful. and then we did the carousel and then we left. So we didn't like try to crisscross the park trying to get the shortest line.
Right.
So it wasn't a terrible amount of walking, but of course, waiting for the Harry Potter ride, we were on our feet for 2.5 hours standing in line. We did post that, we did spend a lot of time sitting.
The time that we waited, we ended up waiting like an hour and a half for Harry Potter, but that was because it was down and we were sitting the whole time, but we were sitting in the AC and this was in April and it was hot. We were like, you know what, we're just gonna chill. And then when we finally gave it up, but we got to ride it later that night when it reopened and we literally just walked in and it was awesome. It's just one of those things. That park is, if everything's up and running, it's great. The rides are manageable, but man, I keep hearing more and more people having days like what you did.
Well, I think they've gradually raised the number of people going to. I think I think they initially held it back. So I think it's actually gotten worse. The other problem with that Harry Potter ride is it's not that it's a bad ride. It's that there's three other better Harry Potter rides.
Oh, for sure.
At the other two parks. Gringotts is better. Forbidden Journey is better. Hagrid's is better. You know, when you ride it, you're like, yeah, this was okay.
Yeah, totally.
You know, if those other three didn't exist, you'd be like, wow, this is really impressive. But
and they just made the capacity so low. Now, did you ride in the front or the back?
We were in the back, and I heard that the front was better, but it was fine. The back wasn't a problem or anything.
The back, I rode it first time in the back and the all the way in the corner, and I did not like it at all. And then the second time I was like, okay, can my son and I get in the front? They ended up putting all three of us in the front. We were like, well, you can put Ray in the back. He doesn't care. They ended up splitting us up and putting us all in the front. And then after that, once we experienced it one time in the front, the next time we went, we didn't ask and we ended up in the back. So basically, if you're pairs of two, you'll end up in the front. If you're an odd group, you're going to end up in the back. It's night and day, the difference of that ride. It's hard to explain. Like even Ryder said it, like, and it's just a complete, and it's and the first time you ride it, you know, so I think, and then just the capacity is so low, though they made those cars so.
It really felt very slow loading.
Yeah.
Like there were only, whatever, 12 people in the vehicle, and it took so long to load. I really felt that too, that it's like, oh my God, no wonder this takes so long. It's surprising that they would do that, but.
Yeah, it was just poorly designed to.
For capacity.
Yeah. For capacity. So I'm glad you had a great trip.
Yeah, it was a wonderful trip. I mean, I could talk about a bunch of other new stuff we did, but I've already gone on probably way too long. Appreciate if our listeners stuck around and wanted to hear about some of the DVC experiences and Epic Universe. So have you been over to Epic Universe? You must have been there now, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, not yet.
It's, you know, for all that I complained about, I still think it was worth the money. I'll be honest. I mean, it was $169 each that I think the tickets were on the day we went. And I was glad we did it. I'm not in a rush to go back. I could wait a little while before I go back, but I still was very glad that we went because it is amazing the level of theming that they have for each of the lands and how well done it is and how it's very well laid out, I have to say, without using a hub and spoke system to have kind of that central mm-hmm. celestial park and then have the portals off of it. I really thought it was a well laid out park, very clean. All the employees were very friendly. The character interactions that we had were fantastic. No fault to any of the employees over there, but just, yeah, there's capacity issues with that park. It would be my big complaint. I did take a survey and give them my opinion.
I'm kind of waiting to January when it, after, you need to give it a couple of months at least. I went to Harry Potter when it first opened, and I regretted doing that.
Yeah.
So my thought was between the heat of the summer, I like it when it's a little bit cooler to do the park, mm-hmm. especially if you have to be outside waiting in line. And January is generally a quieter time down here. So
that's true, yeah.
We're glad that we went to the previews and then we went to those 2 days in June because it really did give us two very different days. But I will say, like, we don't have the urge to go back just until they fix everything. It is a great park. It's definitely beautiful. And I can't wait to see what it turns into, because I think, it, you know, in a couple of years they're already looking at expanding it. I think it's going to be a really stellar park. Well, we'll wrap this up. So before we say goodbye, I just want to give a shout out again to thank you to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. And with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.